They're ones I chosen with God's help to read together this morning from the Gospel of John, chapter number 3, and I'd like to begin with verse number 16 through 21. Gospel of John, chapter 3, beginning with verse 16 through 21. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. He that believeth on him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. And this is the condemnation, that light is come into the world, and men love darkness rather than light, because their deeds were evil. For everyone that doeth evil hateth the light, neither cometh to the light, lest his deeds should be reproved. But he that doeth truth cometh to the light, that his deeds might be made manifest, that they are wrought in God. May God bless the reading. Dear ones, the passage before us is a passage that I believe there's no one here that has never heard. It's a passage that is extremely familiar to us. Much of the world takes much comfort in this verse, and a large part of that is simply because it's not really looked into to see what is exactly Jesus saying when he says that God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have eternal life or everlasting life. And as we read this portion of scripture here, we have to really look deeper into what Jesus is saying here. First of all, that it speaks of God's love. And, you know, you and I all of us love. There's men, women, and children in the world that we love. We truly love them. And we would do anything for them. But we don't love the whole world. You know, when we think of God's love, when we think of the world, because the Bible tells us here he loves God loved the whole world, we have to read what is the world. And in John's epistle, in the first epistle in 5:19, it says, "And the whole world lieth in wickedness." God loves the whole world that lies in wickedness. So that love is totally different from your love and my love, human love. And as Brother John led us in prayer, he talked about that we've received his nature, the divine nature. That is the only way that you and I can love like God loves. Because you and I can't love the way God loves unless we have his nature. Human nature doesn't know that. Can't. Human nature can't love an enemy. Can't love those who use us and abuse us and so on. And actually, if we read events that take place of especially the awful things that are hard to even think about that take place in the world, God looks upon that soul. And yes, the one who spit in the face of Jesus, the one who pierced him, the one who put that crown of thorns upon his head, God came and sent his son to die for them. Why? Because he loved them. And so now we read this passage that God loves us so much that he sent his only begotten son, that whosoever believes in him. And, you know, there is some comfort in the fact that we all say we believe in Jesus. There's never anyone here, I believe, that would say, I don't believe in Jesus. You wouldn't be here. Why would you be here? So you believe in Jesus. And then somehow we look and, well, I do believe. So we kind of take some comfort, and the world takes comfort in that. They hear about Jesus. They don't want to dismiss him. They believe in him. They pray to him as they go on living their merry old life. And some of us here do that too, that very thing. But Jesus goes on and he says, God sent not his son into the world to condemn the world. He didn't come to judge the world. Okay? Good, we would say, right? But that the world through him might be saved. Okay, so Jesus didn't come to condemn. And Jesus says himself, I am not going to judge you. He says, the words that I've spoken, they will judge you. Now, if we also read in John that chapter where he says the whole world lieth in wickedness, it says, and we know that the Son of God is come and hath given us an understanding that we may know him that is true. So he is truth. And Jesus himself says, I am the way and the truth and the life. So the only truth in the world is in Jesus. All truths are found in him. So he says, and I've given you an understanding of this truth. We look on Jesus and we see truth and we see a way. And he says, and I gave you an understanding. And it says, and we are in him. So we are in Christ, the one, it says, in whom, the one that is true. Even in his son, Jesus Christ. And he says, this is the true God and eternal life. I am the way, the truth, and the life. John is confirming here, he is eternal life. He is the truth. He gives us understanding of who he is. And so Jesus came to show us the Father. There's no way that you and I could ever know God unless we look upon Jesus Christ. He says, this is the true God. And oftentimes, we diminish him. And we don't think so highly of him, just as the Pharisees. And you know, in every one of us, there's Phariseeism in all of us, where we overlook much of what we do. Because the hard truths of Jesus Christ are lost upon us. We take comfort in the fact that Jesus died for me. Oh, great. This is wonderful. He sent his son so I don't perish, so I have everlasting life. But then Jesus goes on here and describes more truths. He tells us, he that believeth on him is not condemned. He that believeth on him, he's not condemned. He's not judged. But he that believeth not is condemned or judged already. He's already judged. Why? Because he has not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. And so, this is the condemnation. This is the judgment, that light is come into the world, and men love darkness rather than light. And Jesus says, I am the light of the world. So I am the light of the world. And he says, and light is come into the world. So Jesus came into the world, and men love darkness rather than light. It's a harsh thought, but what does man do? When we say, because he says here, why? Because their deeds are evil. Okay, so there is a recognition of man that his deeds are evil. You know, Pilate looked at Jesus, and God used an evil man to testify that he is sinless and perfect. He says, I don't find anything in this man that he is guilty of. He goes, but then he said, but I will chastise him. Why? Because his deeds are evil. See, he did what many people today do, what you and I will do. See, he took comfort in the fact that Rome, he wanted Rome to look upon him that he did something good. You know, he squelched an uprising and all that. So he's going to chastise him, to put him in chains and to beat him. And for what? For proclaiming that he is good. So many people in the world today proclaim Jesus as good as they go on and chastise him, literally, by casting him aside and going on and loving the darkness that they are in. The centurion also. God used another evil man to proclaim, this is the Son of God. Surely, he said, when he saw the wonders that had taken place, surely this was the Son of God. Stones will speak his message if you and I can't testify of the truths of Jesus Christ, because our deeds are evil and we love darkness rather than light. Darkness doesn't have to mean what we think, because, you know, no one wants their sin exposed. Who here has had any thought that was shady, and or just seeing someone, I can't stand him, and or something like that? And you want that exposed? No one wants that exposed. Why? You love evil. You want to keep that hidden. Bring it to the light. Bring it to Jesus Christ. Say, Lord, purge me of these thoughts. How could I have thought? I'm in you. You are in me. And I'm thinking these thoughts. I didn't learn that from you. Those aren't truths that you've taught me. That's darkness. That's evil. That's lies. And I love those lies. I love the darkness. See, sometimes we surround ourselves, or we find ourselves in the company of men who we want their approval, as Pilate did. He had his moment of conscience that told him, don't do this. He had that moment. That's the spirit of life of God that was in every man. That's why there is in every man something that is good, because life is in him. Life is from God. Life is God. It's the Spirit. He says in him, but he gives us life eternal. We have to choose that. He didn't come to condemn the world. His word will judge us. The words that I have spoken, how much time do I spend in listening and taking into my heart the word that Jesus has spoken? You know, The brother also led us in prayer about the being, the bondage, the chains, the bondage that we are in. And these chains, dear ones, that are forged, they're all forged in lies, in darkness, evil, wickedness, and we choose to be chained to that. But the chains that will bind us together in Christ are forged in what and who God is: love. And that's a word that perhaps we get tired of hearing about. We might think that love means overlooking sin. Jesus never overlooked sin to any person. Never. He always made someone whole. And he told them, go and sin no more. He told the woman at the well. He exposed her sin to her. And she left. And she became free. She was freed of that bondage that she was under. Those chains, because she chose to be. The words that came from his lips were words of life. She embraced those words. What do we do with the words that flow from the words of truth? They will judge you. They will judge me. We look at Jesus sometimes, and he's going to be coming. He's going to be slaughtering with the sword. What, has Jesus changed? Jesus the same yesterday, today, and forever? He's going to come and slaughter people? No. The sword that proceeds from his mouth is his word. That's the sword. That's what will slay us. The truth that he spoke will judge us to an eternity of outer blackness and darkness forever. That was created not for you and me. He loves us so much, it was created for the devil and his angels. And we choose to follow them into the blackness of the outer darkness. Because we have no concept of eternity. And so, oftentimes we would rather have the praise of men. And so when the testimony for God is to be made, we shrink. We shrink from the truths that we know give us life. We shrink from the truths that give us life. Eternal life, the truths that bring us joy in the midst of great disasters in our own lives, the hope that we have that leads us through can lead us through anything that this world can inflict upon us. When I say the world, I mean the wickedness from the high places, from satanic forces, and the unspeakable joy and hope that we have in Christ. We shrink from those things, the truths that we've experienced, we shrink from them for that moment because we don't want to be different from even our brothers and sisters who are shrinking from their own duty, and we won't proclaim Jesus or this is wrong or brother, put away that bottle. And so on. We're going to just stay quiet. And the Bible tells us the stones will speak their message if you and I keep silent. So if you and I keep silent, how are we witnesses for Jesus Christ? This is the condemnation. This is the judgment. Light has come into the world, and men love darkness rather than light because their deeds are evil. For everyone that doeth evil hateth the light. We know that. We know that. When we sin, quiet. Don't say it to anybody. It can be done in public. And if it's reprimanded in public, how dare you? The thought of what I did is lost. And the thought of, wait, you're not following Jesus' command. You didn't come to me personally. And that's what sin does. We are okay with what we did. Now we're condemning someone else for what they've done. Though it might be known all abroad already. Everyone that doeth evil hateth the light. You know, if what we've done, we've sinned, and that doesn't drive me to an absolute repentance, because that's what the grace of God does. That's what the grace of God does, brings us to repentance. If it doesn't bring me to repentance, and I will excuse my sin, and I will excuse it again, and I will excuse it again, I hate light. And I know some of you may sit here and say, no, I love the truth. If we love the truth, we're going to come to the light. And the light, it will dispel darkness. The evil, the sin is dispelled. The love that God had for me, that I have for him now. See, you know, as I said, many of us love many people in the world. But God's love is so different because when we look at in the true sense of love, because there's many men who proclaim a love for their wives and wives for their husbands and parents for their children and children for their parents who desert one another. That's not true love. It's not. Because love, the love of God, the true love that God had for us, is completely absorbed in the good of what he can do for the object of his love. And so who does God love? The world which lies in wickedness. That's who our God is. So don't have any Pharisaic thought and think that there's some merit of your own that you could do. And I know, sadly, oftentimes, and this is what the human nature does, and he likes to spring up back again from that grave. He likes to spring up again and make us feel good about some of the good that we've done. That's evil. That's evil. Make you feel good about what you did. A little smugness, a little bit of and the one that Jesus says, I was hungry and you gave me something to eat. He says, when? When did I see you hungry? You see, he stands before God, empty of all self-righteousness, completely dependent upon the righteousness of Jesus Christ. But Jesus here is telling us that if you believe, you have eternal life. But this belief is a flee from darkness. You're coming to the light. The words that I've spoken to you, they are truth. It says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was God, and the Word became flesh. Everything is in him. Who? You can't look at God the Father to see him. You don't know anything about him unless what Jesus revealed to us. So don't in some way feel, don't dismiss Jesus and try to go to the Father as in you're going to know him some way differently. You know him only through Jesus. This is the true God. This is eternal life. And so for you and I to say, I believe in Jesus, do you run from darkness to the light? Do you testify that Jesus is King? Are you ashamed to stand up for Jesus? And I know I say this oftentimes because those are the realities of the church age, not today, of the church age, meaning from its inception when Christ took the church as his bride, who he wants to present blameless, faultless. Can you and I be placed blameless and faultless before him? No, no. But we can be placed before him as those who says, when? When did I see you hungry? You did see me hungry, and you gave me something to eat. How do we place ourselves there? By hating wickedness, darkness, sin, evil thoughts. By hating those things. Why? Because I hear the words of Jesus, the words that are truth and life and light, the ones that bring me hope, the ones that bring me joy, the ones that give me clarity in a world that is in sin, in chaos. There's no direction to be found here other than in Jesus Christ. Why do we hate to come to the light? Because it says, lest his deeds should be reproved. Lest his deeds should be reproved. And Jesus said, I came to reprove the world of righteousness, of judgment, of sin. So the only way we can be reproved is through Jesus Christ. There's no goodness in you that you and I can do to come to Christ. Us coming to Christ is his grace. And then he gives us, through his resurrection and ascension, we see him glorified. And you see, Pilate saw Jesus in his humiliation. He saw Jesus in his humiliation. And he says, I don't see anything. I don't see anything in this man that he did wrong. And we see him in his glory. We see the glorified Christ. And we don't see anything in him that would solidify my faith and belief in him that will cause me to escape and run from the darkness and the wickedness that is in this world to take me to that shelter in Christ. He that doeth truth. You know, the Bible tells us there's only one thing that will set us free, and that is truth. The truth shall set you free. He that doeth truth. What is truth? Pilate was asking that. What is truth? Truth was right in front of him. What is truth? The words that I've spoken, Jesus says. So he that doeth truth, He that doeth the words that I have spoken, he cometh to the light. So the one that loves Jesus, the one that believes in Jesus. So you want to comfort yourself that you believe in Jesus? You're going to come to him. You're going to come to the words, and you're going to do the words that he has spoken. The words that I have spoken. He says, he that doeth truth cometh to the light. Who is the light? Jesus says, light is coming to the world. Jesus is coming to the world. Light is coming to the world. So he that doeth truth, what is truth? Jesus, it says, all truth is in him. We read that. And so if you do truth, you come, you're doing what he said. If you come to light, you're coming to him. Everything is him. He says, why? That his deeds may be made manifest, that they are wrought in God. So if you sin, the tendency, if you're following darkness is to follow darkness. But see, God gives us a divine nature, and he gives us, so when you and I have a thought or a moment of shame, that's a scary thought, to have shame of Jesus. And you know, there are some men who proclaim Jesus very shamelessly, and yet their deeds show that they don't do truth. They show it. They could divorce, have two wives. They could have relationships outside of their marriage, and they proclaim their belief in Jesus and shamelessly say, I believe in Jesus. And talk about Jesus. But he said, if you do truth, you come to the light so that your deeds might be made manifest, that they are wrought in God. If you and I come to the truth, come to the words that are spoken, if we come to Jesus, the light, all the hidden works of darkness are exposed to us. We see those things that we discount so easily when we don't go to the light. That's why anger remains in us. That's why you and I can sometimes say, oh, I don't like that person. I love them, I just don't like their deeds. And so we can be rude to them. We can do all kinds of manners of evil. Evil. Let's call it what it is. That's evil. Don't act like a good Christian if you can't love your brother. How are you going to love the one who hates you and uses you? You know, if you really want to know, do you follow God? Just go to the light with your own deeds, and you'll see if you really love him. You'll see. Because when you go to God, all you see is Jesus. All you see is his words, his life. And you'll know. Do you love him? Or should I go back to the first words that we read? Do you believe in him? Let that be the testimony that I love my Lord, that I believe in him. Let that be the testimony that I believe in him by how I love him. And so, don't make friends with darkness, as we are so apt to do. And you know, it's that Phariseeism that is in all of us that will completely strip us of this unity in Christ. And a brother and I were just speaking this week about ultra-legalism. And it's so easy to pick on ultra-legalism and it's evil. That's ultra evil. That's darkness. Christ isn't in that at all. Now, if you and I look upon someone who is living the life of a Christian, and we say, oh, he's just legalistic, but all you see in him is Christ living in him, well, then it's just our way of saying he's just legalistic. But I'm talking about the one who is fully in the world and yet ultra-conservative. Ultra-conservativism and ultra-liberalism are just religions that will take us straight to hell. Straight to hell. Yes. Liberalism and conservative. I know we use that word. We intermix it perhaps in ways that we shouldn't. But ultimately, conservatism, in its true sense of what it means, is a path that doesn't know Jesus. But we know that a conservative way, if we use it, well, it's the way of Jesus. Well, then let's just say that that's the way of Jesus. Jesus says, don't follow conservatism. He says, follow me. So let's define who Jesus is. Not what one church defines as conservatism. Because we take comfort in following certain rules in a church. And we say we believe in Jesus. And we forget that what it should bring me to. And so conservatism, I find comfort in. And then I might say, well, I want to come to Jesus. I might be attending a church. I want to be a member of the church. And, you know, someone gives me a different way. Well, you know, that's just a conservative church. And it may not be a conservative church in that sense at all. It may be a faith-based, Jesus-believing, following, preaching church. They're just legalists. And that's the deceitfulness of Satan. He's weaving his way into any way that he can into our lives to dispel the light of Christ so that we can enjoy the darkness that we are in and say, I believe in Jesus and I'm saved. It's a comfort. It's too much times a comfort. And we miss Jesus. Do you and I in our daily life miss him? When I say miss him, like we missed the mark. That means we've sinned. And so, do we live our lives and we just missed that road that Jesus says, I am the way. I am the way. Are we on his way? You know, I know I've said it many times, but how many times do we excuse our sin? And you know what the most frustrating part is and the most humbling? See, Jesus came to not only expose the love of God to us, not only to expose God to us, he came to expose us to ourselves so that you can see how wretched, so we can all see how wretched we are without him. There is no goodness in you. Outside of God, there's no goodness in us. Even Judas, who sold out Christ for a disciple of his, who saw, he was deceived. Can you believe he walked with Jesus those 3 years? Saw the miracles, saw everything. Saw God and personified in the flesh, saw him. And he took 30 pieces of silver as something more of a treasure than Christ. And then, in the end, a sinful man, God still used him to proclaim and testify, I have shed innocent blood. How come there was no shame at that moment to say that? Why is there shame in you and I who proclaim we believe in Jesus? Why is there shame to say, brother, don't do that? Brother, let's pray together. Why can't we help one another? Why do we dismiss one another, shun them, so on? We're not testifying our belief in Jesus. We're not in verse 16. We don't belong there. We don't belong in the verse that we love. It's today. It's today when we say we live for Jesus. Let's live for him. Let's love his truths. Let's listen to his word. Obey him. It's all in our obedience to him. It's better than sacrifice. We read that in the scripture. All the truths that come out, it's the only thing that gives us peace, everlasting joy. You know, there's a hymn that came to me this week, and I know we sing it many times in the back, Almost Persuaded. That is probably one of the saddest songs or hymns. Almost Persuaded. How many here are almost persuaded? And, you know, brothers and sisters, we can fall in that category too. So let's not quickly dismiss ourselves as, because if we look and my deeds are continually running to the darkness because I'm not going to light, because that's where they're going to be reproved. Because in the light, in Jesus, I'm going to be reproved, I'm going to be rebuked. This is truth. This is the way. And we will repent. It brings us that faith in God, that belief, repentance towards God, that faith in Jesus Christ will bring me to the repentance in God. We just had that sermon recently. It will bring us there. It brings us to the light. And so my prayer is this morning, dear brothers and dear sisters and dear friends, all of us alike, all of us. We all say we believe in Jesus. Jesus says, that is shown through your deeds, through the darkness and the light that you are going towards. Do you hate the light? Lest your deeds would be shown, because that's where they're shown. Because when you're with friends who embrace darkness, see, it's easier there because you're not in the light. It's easier to fit in there. But when you're in the light, something is wrong. It has to be different. It has to be, or it's in darkness. And so we have to just ask ourselves at the end of the day, at the beginning of every day, and how we live our life, every moment of the day. And you know, I said it recently, and I thought about it again more as I thought about it. Jesus told the thief, because I mentioned, maybe it was here in Detroit and I had the sermon there, or somewhere in Northport, I just had a sermon there, maybe it was there. I said that God doesn't speak about tomorrow, never in the scripture. It's always about today. And I thought about even the thief on the cross who came to a saving faith. He said, today you will be with me in paradise. It's everything is today. Because when this life is over, it's today. We exit time. Time no longer exists. We open our eyes immediately in the flash. We open our eyes to eternity. That's it. And so what is that eternity going to be? Judas chose 30 pieces of silver. What are you and I choosing today? At that end, in that moment, in judgment day, when his word will judge us, what will we say? This 30 pieces of silver that was so precious to me, he threw it aside. He wanted to return it. He wouldn't take it. He threw it aside. What is it today? Family? Friends? Being cool? Fitting in? What is it today that is keeping us from testifying of the words that Jesus spoke that I claim I love so dearly? Almost persuaded. Almost, has to say, is but to fail. To fail. Fail. Almost is failing. You didn't make it. Almost, but lost. May he bless his word upon our hearts in this day. Amen.